Welcome to Shalom Radio UK. This December edition of the program focuses upon the theme of Chanukah, dedication. I hope you enjoy listening to this program.
Chanukah, Chanukah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and lagas to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low.
So low.
One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
Sevivon, sof, 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 Chanukah, hu chag tov, Chanukah, hu chag tov, Sevivon.
The image of a nine-branch menorah, or candelabra, called a Chanukiah, is indelibly printed upon my childhood memories, and throughout my adult life, I have continued to enjoy the kindling of the festive lights, beginning on the first night of Chanukah with lighting the shamus, that is the ninth candle. The shamus means the servant, and it is extinguished after it has lit the other candles. So on the first night you begin with one light kindled, and by the end of the festive period, all eight burn brightly, as we have heard in this song. And then as the candles burn on, so the memories are kindled.
'Cause we got the fire, fire, fire. Yeah, we got the fire, fire, fire.
Human race.
When the lights turn down, they don't know what they heard. Strike the match, play it loud. Give it love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky.
The Feast of Chanukah was established as a Jewish act of worship, remembrance, and thanksgiving at the time of the dedication of the temple during the era of the Maccabees and when they triumphed over the Seleucid conquerors. The main source for the historic content of Chanukah come from two books which are to be found in the Apocrypha, which is the intertestamental writings that occur between the completion of the Jewish scriptures and the New Testament writings. And these are included in Roman Catholic editions of the Bible. The Apocrypha, also referred to as the deuterocanonical books, such as Tobit, Judith, the Greek version of Esther, the Wisdom of Solomon, Sirach, also known as Ecclesiasticus, Baruch, the Letter of Jeremiah, Prayer of Azariah, and the Song of Three Jews, Shoshana, Bel and the Dragon, 1 and 2 Maccabees, 1 Esdras, which is also significant because it gives us historic information about Zerubbabel, who was commissioned by Darius the Mede to lay the foundation for the restoration of the Hebrew temple in Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, when the Jews began to return. The Prayer of Manasseh, 3 Maccabees, 2 Esdras, and 4 Maccabees, which is placed between the Hebrew scriptures and the New Testament. Antiochus Epiphanes, one of the Seleucid rulers, desecrated the Hebrew temple. A mighty uprising occurred under the Maccabees, beginning with Matthias Maccabeus and his sons.
Thank you.
While these are the sounds of contemporary warfare, nonetheless, the ensuing wars between the Jews and the Gentiles in that part of the world covered a great many wars and battles that ultimately led to the Jewish triumph and the re-establishment of Jewish sovereignty within the Holy Land. In 165 BCE, Judas Maccabeus rededicated the temple. This took place after the Jews re-established Jewish sovereignty within the Holy Land, driving back the Seleucids.
We stop the fire and we burn it up. It is over now. Wake up the love. There's no sleeping now. No sleeping now. Sleep when the love is too down. They don't know what they heard. Strike the match. Play it loud. Give it love.
But let's step back and speak about the origins of the word Chanukah. You may be surprised to discover that it comes from the Arabic Hanukkah, which was the rubbing of the gums of a newborn child with date juice or oil. And this was a form of dedication. We will say more about the word dedication. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, in the book The Jewish Year, Volume 2, discusses the concept of dedication in the chapter on the month of Kislev about Chanukah through the ages. And he lists a number of different Chanukahs, special occasions of dedication. The Chanukah of Moses, the Chanukah of Solomon, the Chanukah of Zerubbabel, the Chanukah of the Maccabees, from which we get the contemporary and historic celebration of Chanukah. And finally, Hirsch speaks about the Chanukah of the future. For surely, dedication is an ongoing theme that affects all those who seek to honor and love God, both within the Jewish and Christian traditions.
Yes, Jodels.
Will Santa know I'm Jewish?
No, you don't have to tell him.
And a pony castle, and hot curlers, and a pink maniac soup convertible, a fun day kitchen with all the baking tins, and real cakes, and a gigantic teddy bear, and a sparkly hula hoop, and a dress made of jet. But not the one with the bread.
Oh. And here's your present, little girl. Now move along.
Now don't open it till Christmas.
Okay, Mom, I'm done. Can we go home now?
Don't be meshuggah. We've come all the way here, and we're going to get a present from Santa. Now you're going to stand in the lineup. Just don't tell him you're Jewish.
More than anything else I've ever.
Susie told me you don't have Christmas.
They do, but it's called Hanukkah. Instead of a Christmas tree, they have a Hanukkah bush.
Ho, ho, ho! And what would you like for Christmas, little girl?
Well?
It's Jody, right?
Santa? How do you know my name?
Shh. Adam. Not Santa. Adam Steinbauer. From synagogue. Now take your present, but don't say anything, okay?
Oh man, I can barely wait for Christmas so I can rip this open.
Yeah, me too.
Merry Christmas, Jody!
Thanks, guys! Happy seasonal holidays!
Come on, let's go. You can open it in the car.
Mom?
Yes, my darling.
Do girls ever get to be Santa?
Well, of course. Why not?
I'm glad to say that Hanukkah is more than receiving presents and eating special foods, and that's true also for Christmas, for both have to do not only with the giving and sharing of gifts, but God's sharing His greatest gift with us, His love, and particularly as manifest to us in the season of Hanukkah. But I will say more about this as the program progresses. Hanukkah also meant, in Hebrew, to train or to dedicate. Later on, it took on strong religious meaning. During the intertestamental period, that is, the time when the Hebrew canon was closed, in about 250 BCE, before the Common Era, and the writing of the New Testament books, it refers to the feast of Hanukkah that commemorates the re-establishment of worship in the temple after the excesses of the evil Antiochus Epiphanes. There is only one mention of it in the scriptures, in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 22. Then came Hanukkah, that is the feast of dedication. It was winter in Jerusalem. Yeshua was walking in the temple around Solomon's colonnade. This statement is almost incidental, with nothing being said either about Yeshua or his disciples participating in any festivities during the Feast of Dedication. As already mentioned, on the question of dedication, I have come across an excellent book by Samson Raphael Hirsch, The Jewish Year, which is a collection of his writings. He was an outstanding Jewish scholar that exemplified personal integrity and dedication to the Torah and to the building up of the Jewish community at large through his writings. In his second volume, under the heading Kislev 3, Kislev is the third month of the civil year and the ninth month of the religious Hebrew calendar. It usually falls somewhere between November and December, coinciding with the Gregorian calendar and its December winter month and the festivities that take place during that season. And it's during this period that Hanukkah takes place. Hanukkah during the ages. Hirsch speaks about the Hanukkah of Moses, followed by the Hanukkah of Solomon, then the Hanukkah of Zerubbabel, the Hanukkah of the Maccabees, which is the most famous and the one which we will discuss in greater detail. And then finally, he has a section on the Hanukkah of the future.
And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Hanukkah of Moses. The first Hanukkah, the first dedication of the sanctuary, occurred in springtime of our history, when Israel had become a people, but was still a fledgling nation, having been brought out of Egypt by God to be his people. The springtime of the Jewish people was beset by stormy weather and many hardships. Israel's early history characterizes the turbulence and challenges which that later Judaism faced. It should come as no surprise that Jewish history is one of triumph and conflict. This early history, as portrayed throughout the various dedications, is a paradigm of Jewish life in the world up to this present time. Israel celebrated its first birthday in the desert, a desert through which, even today, the amazed traveller is carried by the patient pace of the camel, where drifting sands still terrify the caravans, as they did thousands of years ago, where there were still palm trees in the green oases in which Israel once camped alongside God's streams, in a desert where the weary bones of our forefathers are still sheltered in tombs of rock, and where someday, perhaps, still undeciphered writings may transmit the fathers' greetings to their latest descendants. In this desert, Israel dedicated its first sanctuary. From age to age, God's plan marched on for humankind, as was acted out through the history of Israel. Next, we come to the Chanukah of Solomon. King David desired to build God a house. However, it was given to his son Solomon to fulfill his father's dream. And eventually, the temple was built in Jerusalem and adorned. On its completion, a mighty act of dedication took place. Reading from 1 Kings chapter 8 from the Complete Jewish Bible, then Shlomo assembled all the leaders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the chiefs of the paternal clans of the people of Israel, to King Shlomo in Jerusalem, to bring the Ark, the covenant of Adonai, out of the city of David, known as Zion. All the men of Israel assembled before King Solomon at the festival in the month of Etanim, the seventh month. All the leaders of Israel came. The Kohanim took the Ark and brought up the Ark of Adonai, the tent of meeting, and the holy utensils that were in the tent. These are what the Kohanim and Leviim brought up. King Shlomo and the whole community of Israel assembled in his presence, with him in front of the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen in numbers beyond counting or recording. The Kohanim brought the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai into its place inside the sanctuary of the house, to the especially holy place, under the wings of the Kruvim. The Kruvim spread out their wings over the place of the ark, covering the ark and its poles from above. The poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the sanctuary. but they could not be seen from outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark excepting the two tablets of stone, which Moshe put there on Horeb. When Adonai made the covenant with the people of Israel at the time of their leaving the land of Egypt. When the Kohanim came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of Adonai, so that because of the cloud, the Kohanim could not stand up to perform their service, for the glory of Adonai filled the house. Shlomo said, Adonai said he would live in thick darkness, but I have built you a magnificent house, a place where you can live forever. Then the king turned round and blessed the whole community of Israel. The whole community of Israel stood and said, Blessed be Adonai, the God of Israel, who spoke to my father David with his mouth and fulfilled his promise with his hand. He said, Since the day I brought you, my people, Israel, out of Egypt, I chose no city other than any of the tribes of Israel in which to build the house, so that my name might be there. But I did choose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Adonai, the God of Israel. But Adonai said to David my father, Although it was in your heart to build a house for my name, and you did well that it was in your heart, nevertheless you will not build the house. Rather, you will father a son, and it will be he who will build the house for my name. Now Adonai hath fulfilled his spoken word, for I have succeeded my father and sit on the throne of Israel. And as Adonai promised, I have built the house for the name of Adonai, the God of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark, containing the covenant of Adonai, which he made with our ancestors when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then Shlomo stood before the altar of Adonai in the presence of the whole community of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven and said, Adonai, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven nor on earth below. You keep covenant with your servants and show them grace, provide they live in your presence with all their heart. And you kept your promise to your servant David, my father. You spoke with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand. So it is today. Now therefore, Adonai, God of Israel, keep what you promised to your servant David, my father, when you said, You will never lack a man in my presence to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children are careful about what they do, so that they may live in my presence just as you have lived in my presence. Now therefore, God of Israel, please let your word which you have spoken to your servant David my father be confirmed. And so this mighty act of dedication took place, and God did wonderfully in the presence of his people, and he fulfilled his promise. From that day, God's presence dwelt in the midst of his people Israel. The Chanukah of Zerubbabel. Again, 480 years passed, and once before in the desert, it was the turning point of the winter season. The new Chanukah was not to be celebrated in the desert, but on the fortress of Zion. The dedication was to be held in the city of David. However, it's a very different city to the one that Solomon built the temple and dedicated it to the Lord. For the fortress of Zion lay in ruins. The city of David bore the scars of destruction wrought by the Babylonians. The enemy's hand had removed Solomon's magnificent temple from the site where the new temple was to be dedicated. Not only did the temple lay in ruins, but its treasures had all been plundered and carried off into captivity. The Hanukkah of Zerubbabel and his accomplishments in the deuterocanonical book First Esdras, which relates how Darius showed favor to the Jews in his realm. It really goes back to the time of King Cyrus. I read from 1 Esdras chapter 2 and verse 10. King Cyrus, who also brought out the holy vessels of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and stored in his temple of idols. When King Cyrus of the Persians brought these out, he gave them to Mithridates, his treasurer, and by him they were given to Sheshbazzar, the governor of Judea. The number of these was 1,000 gold cups, 1,000 silver cups, 29 silver censers, 30 golden bowls, 2,410 silver bowls, and 1,000 other vessels. All these vessels were handed over, gold and silver, 5,469, and they were carried back by Sheshbazzar with the returning exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. Though there was opposition from the Gentiles who lived in Judea and the surrounding area around Jerusalem, nonetheless, King Artaxerxes honored the pledge of his predecessor. Then in chapter 3 we read about King Darius, who once again sought to honor the promises that were made by his predecessors. In his court was Zerubbabel, a Jew, and we begin to read. Then King Darius got up and kissed Zerubbabel, and wrote letters for him to all the treasurers and governors and generals and satraps, that they should give safe conduct and passage to him and to all who were going with him to build Jerusalem. And so we see the support that they received. And Zerubbabel's famous prayer. When the young man went out, he lifted up his face to heaven towards Jerusalem and praised the King of Heaven, saying, "From you comes the victory, from you comes wisdom, and yours is the glory, and I am your servant. Blessed are you who have given me wisdom. I give you thanks, O Lord, of our ancestors." So he took the letters and went to Babylon and told this to all his kindred, and they praised God of their ancestors because he had given them the release and permission to go up and build Jerusalem and the temple that is called by his name. And they feasted with music and rejoicing for 7 days. And a great company went back with him. And Darius sent with them 1,000 cavalry to take them back to Jerusalem in safety. And so we see the support that they received. And priests and Levites accompanied them. And worship is reinstituted. In chapter 5 and verse 47 of 1 Esdras, when the 7th month came and the Israelites were all in their own homes, they gathered with a single purpose in the square before the first gate towards the east. Then Yeshua, son of Jozadak, with his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, with his kinsmen, took their places and prepared the altar to the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings upon it, in accordance with the directions in the book of Moses, the man of God. Once again the temple was reconsecrated and rededicated, and worship was resumed as in former times. And the foundations of the temple are laid in the second year after their coming to the temple of God in Jerusalem. In the second month, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Zazadek, made a beginning with their kindred, and with all the Levitical priests, and all who had come back to Jerusalem from exile. And they laid the foundation of the temple of God at the new moon of the second month, in the second year after they came to Judea and Jerusalem. And they appointed the priests and the Levites to officiate. And so the builders built the temple of the Lord, and the priests stood arrayed in their vestments with their musical instruments and trumpets. And the Levites, together with others, praised God and blessed the Lord. And they sang hymns giving thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and his glory of for ever upon all Israel. And all the people sounded trumpets and shouted with great shout, praising the Lord for the erection of the house of the Lord. And the work on the temple continued. While Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes helped to facilitate the Israelites in their return to Judah, giving most of the temple furnishings, utensils, and ornaments back. Under Titus, the Romans once more destroyed and carried off the temple treasures to Rome. The destruction that was wrought in 70 CE when Titus and his Roman legions sacked the temple and burned it to the ground, taking the temple treasures to Rome, and the Jewish people were once again driven into exile. This was indeed a dark day and a cause of great sadness and lament.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. starry, starry night. Portraits hung in empty halls, frameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you've met. The ragged men in ragged clothes, a silver thorn, a bloody rose, lie crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never will.
Though temples have toppled, Hanukkah remains a celebration that takes place annually. There are two questions that need answering. Firstly, is a temple needed? And secondly, what is the significance of Hanukkah for today and for the future? Do we need a temple? The Jewish temple faithful, with a number of well-intended Christian fundamentalist groups, believe that a new temple is needed. This is tied up with their particular interpretation of prophecy and eschatology. The word eschatology is best described as things to come. And for them, the restoration of a physical temple is an integral part of those things that must take place to facilitate the return of the Messiah. These groups are fabricating and preparing for the reconstruction of the temple, and are fabricating articles of its furnishings. While visiting Israel this year, 2019, there was a big celebration taking place in Haifa with the arrival of a giant menorah from Germany that had been fabricated by German Christians. Before attempting to answer the question as to whether a temple is needed, I wish to discuss the Hanukkah of the Maccabees and its importance from a Messianic Jewish perspective. Antioch Epiphanes' name means the God made flesh. Not only was he an evil tyrant that sought to destroy Judaism, but in many ways was an antichrist or anti-messiah, a Judaphobe, just like Pharaoh, Haman, and Hitler. If the Maccabees and Hasmoneans had not restored the temple and Jewish worship, there would have been no context for Yeshua to have been born. For Yeshua came into the world in a Jewish context in the first century of the Common Era. Nes Gadol Hayah Po, a great miracle has happened here. And if you live in the diaspora, you say, Nes Gadol Hayah Sham, a great miracle happened there.
A gift of light for all to see. The festival we know as Hanukkah, a gift from God to you and me. Sing Nes Gadol Hayah Sham, the miracle that happened there. We celebrate this time at Hanukkah, a miracle God heard our prayer. Sing Nes Gadol Hayah Sham. Now dreidels turn, and so does a life. We think about these things at Hanukkah.
the candles burn to ease our strife. Sing Nescadol Hayalasham. This is a story from long, long ago. That is why we say the blessings. That is why we need to know. The lasting light made spirits lift. That's why we have 8 days of Hanukkah. For God bestowed his wondrous gift. Sing Nescadol Hayasham. This is a story from long, long ago. That is why we say the blessings. That is why we need to know. And so it goes, and so shall be. This happy time we know as Hanukkah. A miracle did set them free. Sing Nescadol Hayasham.
What was the great miracle? While for 8 days the holy oil lasted and burned, which was only sufficient for one day's supply, is celebrated as a miracle, this is based upon a legend that when the priests came to light the menorah, there was only enough oil to burn for one day, yet it burned for 8 days until sufficient new consecrated oil could be purified and made. If there had been no Maccabees, there would have been no Hanukkah, no rededication of the temple, and a Jewish context would not have come into being, and therefore no context for Yeshua to have been born. The life and times of Yeshua the Messiah is a reality of history. He came to save his people Israel, and all who put their trust in him, Jews and Gentiles alike, can find God's peace through the Messiah. On the question of, do we need another temple? The answer from a New Testament perspective is no. The believing community is referred to as the body of Yeshua, which is the living temple. When considering the book of Hebrews, the writer is at great pains to show that Yeshua is the new and better sacrifice. He institutes the new and better priesthood and has opened the way for the new people of God, made up of both Jewish and Gentile believers.
Mercy found us here. Glory in the highest, and on the earth be peace. Glory to God, the angels sing. He came to tell the Father's love, his goodness and his grace, to show the brightness of his smile, the glory of his face. So glory in the highest, and on the earth be peace. little children sing. His name shall be called Wonderful. Burdens and to give a glorious gift. So glory in the highest, and on the earth be peace. Glory to God, the world will sing. His name shall be called
The Chanukah of Yeshua, the dedication of Yeshua. In early Judaism, after Mount Sinai, the institution of the priesthood was established. However, prior to that, we discover that a different set of circumstances existed. For from the beginning, the office of the priesthood in each family belonged to the eldest son. But when the extensive plan of sacrificial worship was introduced, requiring a company of men to be exclusively devoted to this ministry, the primitive office of the firstborn was suspended and was superseded by that of the Levites. And it was ordained that the firstborn of humankind and of unclean animals should henceforth be redeemed. The law concerning this redemption of the firstborn of humankind is extensively recorded in the scriptures. The firstborn male of every clean animal was to be given to the priest for sacrifice, but the firstborn of unclean animals was either to be redeemed or sold, and the price given to the priests. The firstborn of an ass, if not redeemed, was to be put to death. When the presentation of Yeshua took place in the temple, in the early life of Yeshua, in Luke's Gospel, describes his presentation at the temple in Jerusalem in order to officially induce him into Judaism. And that is celebrated by many Christian churches on the special holiday of Candlemas. It is described in chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. Within the account, Luke's narration of the presentation in the temple combines the purification rite with the Jewish ceremony of the redemption of the firstborn, also known as the Pidyon Haben. I personally, as my mother's firstborn, had a Pidyon Haben performed for me when I was born in Johannesburg. A relative of my aunt was a Cohen, and my father gave him a fixed amount of money as a token of my redemption. The event of Yeshua's presentation and dedication is described in Luke's Gospel. According to the account, Mary and Joseph took the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem 40 days after his birth to complete Mary's ritual purification after childbirth and to perform the redemption of the firstborn son in obedience to the Torah, as recorded in Leviticus chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 13. Luke explicitly says that Joseph and Mary took the option of poor people, those who could not afford to offer a lamb, instead sacrificing a pair of turtle doves or possibly two young pigeons. Upon bringing Yeshua into the temple, they encountered Simeon. The Gospel records that Simeon had been promised that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Then Simeon uttered the prayer, which is called the Nunc Dimittis, or Let Your Servant Depart in Peace. And he prophesied the future role of redemption that Yeshua would fulfill. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon then prophesied to Mary, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In addition, the elderly prophetess Anna, who was in the temple night and day praying, offered praise to God for Yeshua and spoke to everyone there of his importance in the redemption of Jerusalem.
Unto us a child is born.
Unto us a child.
What is the significance of Hanukkah for today? Well, it has great importance for all. Dedication is both personal and corporate. Your dedication to the God of Israel is an act that applies to each one of us. What will you say to Yeshua? The corporate implications are far-reaching for both the believing community and Israel. Our attitude towards Israel is important for a number of reasons. God's plan of redemption is intimately bound up with Israel, past, present, and the future. During the season of Hanukkah, and as Christians celebrate Advent, looking forward to Christmas when the birth of Jesus is celebrated, a response is needed. We need to rededicate ourselves to God to fulfill our personal destiny and to find our place in God's Hanukkah plan. You have been listening to Shalom Radio UK. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this program. To enable me to further develop the work of Shalom Radio UK, please consider making a donation. You will find the appropriate place on the website that will enable you to give. God bless you, and Shalom.